The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the end, beautiful friend, the end. It's the last podcast on Voice America, so it's bittersweet. It's great to have had the success that we have had with voiceamericasports.com. You should all continue listening to this network. Special shout-outs to Ray Ellis and Scott Duffy. I was going to say a shout-out to D in the booth, so there's your shout-out, D. But I also got a shout-out to Matt, who's back in the booth today. So we very well might get some musical stylings, which is something that if you have ever listened to this podcast, you know is as much a part of us as football is. Very excited Matt's here today. It's sad to be leaving Voice America because we've been here for over 2 years. But some logistics, our need to expand, availabilities of time, yada, yada, yada. We won't tell you where to find us when you're here. We wouldn't do that to Voice America. But you can go to fantasyinsights.com if you follow us, and you'll find out where we will be. We will be elsewhere, but we cannot say enough good things about Voice America. That said, we have Lee Steinberg, the super agent, the original super agent. Of course, for those of you living in a closet, the basis for the movie Jerry Maguire. And probably a lot of people listening to this show actually do live in the closet. But somebody who does not live in the closet anymore, Jason Collins, we will touch on that. Interesting. You'll hear my take. We have saved the best for last, as I said. Lee Steinberg's been on the show a few times. We'll talk concussions. That's something that he's very serious about and very involved in. You remember the opening scene, Jerry Maguire, the hockey player with the concussion. We'll talk about this year's NFL draft class. We'll talk off-the-field issues and hopefully get some more stories. I know he's got a book out there now. Speaking of rookies, you can look on the site. You can see my rookie rankings board. We're going to put Micah James' rookie ranking board up at fantasyinsights.com. Magic Micah, the fantasy football magic man, the new editor-in-chief of Fantasy Insights. He has entered the vortex of hell. He doesn't know it yet, so don't tell him. He's such a good guy. I feel bad for him, Mike. You know, it's a good thing, though, because it means I go back to being the figurehead, Queen Elizabeth. You know, it's Dish and his team of experts. So it's not about me being an expert. We all know I'm not. So I got to have the team. That's what counts. The big news this week, obviously, Jason Collins coming out as gay. And people are making what they're making of this. And my take on this is big deal. Like, so what? So why is there a story like all of that? Okay, I get it. Social context. But I don't want to hear the Jackie Robinson comparisons. That's a little bit ridiculous. A little ridiculous, a little different. If it was 10 years ago, different story. But nobody cares now. The majority of the country now supports gay marriage. You know, it's great. Don't get me wrong. It's great for the high school kid who is trying to get the courage to come out. Great. Okay. We need that. But it's just, you know, when Martina did it, it was a big deal. Ellen did it. Lance Bass did it. Okay, he's the first athlete, but you know what? Okay, well, here's a question. I was just going to say he sucks. Nobody cares because he sucks. But now, if I say he sucks, is that a gay slur? Come on. That's funny. Oh, that's gay-approved humor. I ran that by my gay friends. The double entendre jokes are always okay. All right? The other one that is gay-approved, Do you know my other gay joke that's gay approved?
Which
what
one
do gay
is that?
Horses eat? Hey! That's funny. Come on. That's cocktail party humor. That's gay approved. Not offensive.
Okay.
I just say, so what if he's gay? You know, I was going to talk all about, you know, the inner politics of, you know, being gay and Chris Broussard and all this stuff. But you know what? It's too contentious. People are too passionate about it. It's like abortion. Everybody can have their thing. Everybody can have their opinion. But nowadays when you express an opinion, people start calling for you to be fired. I mean, Broussard does represent about 45% of the country in what he's saying. And I didn't see him slur anybody. He slurred a lifestyle. So, you know, I don't know. I have a hard time condemning him. He made it about his opinion, and he wasn't disrespectful. He wasn't derogatory. He was expressing disagreement, which is what America's about, even if you don't like his opinion. That's the example they give about free speech. You got to be able to let people march. Can't be a gathering. You got to be able to hate what they say. So anyway, I don't think this is that big a deal. Listen, he was talking about what they say in the Bible, but of course in the Bible it also says if a child disrespects their parents, you stone them to death in the town square. So you can't follow everything that's in the Bible. Remember when it was Max's bar mitzvah and I was going to miss the Michigan-Alabama game, Mike, and I quoted a bunch of stuff from his Torah portion?
Yeah.
There was some crazy stuff in the Bible. And she went for the other guy's nards with a submerging method.
Yeah.
He automatically, they're both put to death, something like that, which is funny. See, that's
funny.
In the
old West Wing show years ago, President Bartlet did a monologue with a reporter and just absolutely reamed her with Bible quotes on, you know, if my wife does this, does that mean I have to kill her? You know, and just on and on and on and on down the list. It was funnier than hell.
Yeah, I guess this whole thing, it's like
quotes.
The big media machine. I mean, I know a lot of gay men and some very, very masculine gay men, very tough gay men who are very macho. Gay does not mean queen. I mean, incidentally, that's what's funny, because the most prejudiced people in the world are gay men about queens. They bother them. It's like giving them a bad name. But, you know, my take on this whole thing is Jason Collins is 7 feet tall. He's a large man. I would imagine everything about him is large. I mean, the real hero is his boyfriend. I mean, that's got to be something. But see, that's the politics I'm wondering about. I didn't know this until recently, that it's, anyway, that's inappropriate stuff to discuss.
Like most things, there's two sides to the story. People have one viewpoint or another, and they argue, and there's absolutely no way they're ever going to find a middle ground on it.
I mean, okay, great. So someone came out, but all these athletes have been saying they'd support it. It's, you know, whatever. I get it. It's courageous, but whatever. I just don't think it's that big a story. I think everybody knew somebody was going to do it. Okay, oh, he's the one who did it. Great. Nobody really cares. But they're going to care about 2 points and 2 rebounds a game as his career averages.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of stoning people on the street, I haven't had a chance to weigh in on the Boston Bombers yet. And I'm going to say that I'm going on record. I want Endo and his electric sticks working on this guy, finding out everything he can find, and then I want them drawn and quartered in the town square. I'm going biblical. I'm going medieval on the asses. That's what I'm saying.
I was going to suggest that they allow the remaining kid to get healthy and let him release him entirely, drop all the charges, take him out to Fenway Park, tell him to throw out the first pitch,
and then let Absalom in that movie No Escape.
They have a party somewhere for the security people out in left field. Free beer and pizza, all they can eat, and if they can get past the players with the bats and the spikes, then the fans can get them.
Yeah, Endo with his electric sticks, that was the best lethal weapon.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, you know, that's back when Mel Gibson was so cool. He was so great in that movie. That was before, like, all the anti-Semitism, and then when he called the lady cop sugar tits.
that was funny.
I mean, I hated that because I had to take him off of two of my top five movies of all time. Lethal Weapon and Braveheart were both on my list of top five. And I had to shuffle in a couple of new titles because I had to stop liking Mel Gibson, even though I have a hard time.
It's amazing what a couple of anti-Semitic comments can do with people.
Well, especially when you're Jewish.
Yeah. Bonnie's taking him off her list, too. We can no longer watch him.
I took him off my list for a while. I don't know. I sort of watch him again now, sort of.
Yeah.
Not all the way. I watched Apocalypto, and I felt dirty after I watched it. How's that? How's that for my resolve?
That sounds... I'd feel dirty watching that, too, I think.
Hunt for Red October, that's my number one list. But it, rather than talk about my favorite movies, I think we got enough time before the break that we may as well have no delay. It's much more interesting to hear our guests speak to all of you than to hear me speak to all of you. So to maximize our time, I would like to introduce the original super agent, friend of the show. On our last show on Voice America, we have our guest of honor, saving the best for last, Lee Steinberg. Lee, how are you?
So sad, last show.
I know you, last show on this network. We'll be back.
Somewhere. You're too good not to reemerge somewhere.
Yeah, we have plans, but out of respect, we're not going to discuss it today. But okay. Obviously, we will be in touch. So before we get to the NFL draft, real quickly, Jason Collins, a player goes through a personal journey. He makes a bold declaration. Honestly, my feeling is this would have been much bigger news 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. It's great for high school kids and younger people that are struggling that to see this happen. How much of a part of this process do you think his agent was? And, like, what are your thoughts if a client came to you with this issue? How would you handle it?
I'm sure his agent was, you know, trying to apply a muzzle at some point. There was a time where I said publicly, probably 30 years ago, that a player would have a better chance at being popular if he said he was a communist than to say he was gay. And I'm happy to say that there have been extraordinary social changes since then. We have a real generational shift in that younger people just don't have the judgmental attitudes towards certain of these issues. You got the President of the United States coming out for gay marriage. And I think the sport's ready for it. And once the first players come out, it will become a non-issue and people will go on. You know what football players or baseball players or basketball players care about is this person part of our unit? Is he a good achiever and can he help us win? And, if those things are true, then quite frankly, who someone's dates is not all that big an issue.
Do you think there's going to be any backlash in games of a guy getting oversensitive, of him getting grabby? You know, there's a lot of physicality in the post. And I'm not saying this to be funny. I'm being serious.
Players rib each other and make derisive comments for all sorts of reasons anyway. So it'd be unrealistic to think that nobody's going to say anything or make any derogatory comments. But whoever is first, if you watch the Jackie Robinson movie, whoever is first always has to put up with a little bit of that, and then it just sort of passes. The key is this player productive? And if he is, it shuts everybody up. And the reality of the situation is that even when you have players who have religious beliefs, born-again Christians, who are not particularly open to homosexuality, it doesn't necessarily affect how they'll react to a gay person. I've seen a lot of whites that don't particularly have great racial attitudes. They're just fine with their black teammates. And if you think about it, sports has a wonderful model going on in racial relations every day. It's one of the few places where black, Latino, white, Asian people actually work together, bleed together every single day with very few issues. So somehow, if you can overcome those things, I think gayness is not going to be a heavy issue. Again, but it takes the first people to go ahead and do it. The anticipation, as you suggest, may be much worse than the results.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize the impact that he'll have on a high school student, perhaps, who's thinking of coming out. I completely get that angle. But I just feel like, you know, it's not that big a deal. In all likelihood, if he's in a game, because he's not a great player. He's okay. He's a big man who can play defense. In a game, if he does get in and somebody's making cracks, I think it's much more likely for one of his teammates to get in a fight than for him coming to his defense. Is ironic.
Well, absolutely, because again, if you watch Jackie Robinson, it just doesn't do for whoever takes this fairly courageous stand is got to understand that it's not going to be helpful if they're in endless fights. I mean, if players make fun of other players for how they look, where they come from, you know, the if a player has a mole, then his nickname becomes the mole, right? it's not male humor is not particularly kind, nor are male remarks. So that just goes on anyway, and it's sort of a rough concept. I was sitting on the floor for a Clipper-Laker game, right on the floor, right next to the Laker bench, and the amount of talking that was going on in that game, which you can't hear if you sit higher up and you can't hear on television, was extraordinary. They were talking to each other on virtually every play. So this just goes on anyway, and it'll end up being fine.
Did we lose Lee?
Sounds like it.
All right, sounds like we lost him. Well, we'll get him back. We got to go to a break anyway. When we come back, we will talk the NFL draft with Lee Steinberg. Always such a great take. See, I love hearing his take on that. He puts it totally in perspective. And it's true. Guy humor is so mean. My wife hears me talk to my guy friends. She's like, what's the matter with you? Like, we just speak to each other. Our way of expressing affection is to see how badly we can insult each other on the deepest levels. Anyway, Fantasy Insights Radio, the final Thursday. Matt's musical stylings taking us out to the break.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hogs. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Every Wednesday, you'll want to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins and his co-host Bill Mattis. Tony's broken records and has been to the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. We'll talk about what's happening in sports every week with news, action, and notable guests from all aspects of the sports world. We'll also involve you by discussing questions and topics of interest sent in via email from listeners all over the world. Become what you believe. Tune in to Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins, Wednesdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
All right, we are back on a Thursday afternoon, the final Thursday afternoon. We have the original super agent, Lee Steinberg. You can find him at Steinberg Sports on Twitter, steinbergsports.com. Time to talk about the NFL draft. This is the first draft since 1960 without a running back in the first round, and really only one quarterback. Very line heavy. What are your general impressions of this class and what teams did?
For fans, it had to be a snooze because, it reminded me of the time when I was negotiating for Troy Aikman, and Jerry Jones said, well, if you don't take this offer, we've got a really outstanding offensive tackle, Tony Mandarich, that we can take instead. I said, well, Jerry, nothing speaks louder on your season ticket sale application or your press book than a offensive tackle. So for the fans, well, not particularly exciting, but for the building blocks of football, the way it's played, absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've shifted now so that someone that can protect a passer, a quarterback, a shutdown corner, and anyone that can rush the passer, these are the four critical positions. So, you know, teams loaded up on them. There has been a big infusion of quarterbacks over the last 3 or 4 years, more young quarterbacks starting than ever before. So it's natural that would see a break because, I mean, we've had great young quarterbacks enter the league, and most of them are starting. So that's a break. There's a new theory on running backs, which is that they can be obtained in the third round, in the fifth round, that because of the injury factor and wear and tear, that it's very risky to take one in the first round. And remember, it's just a reflection of the fact that when I was growing up, football was fundamentally two-thirds rushing and one-third passing, and now it's reversed.
Right.
So anyway, they took good players to build teams, but it wasn't exactly excitement central.
Yeah, obviously. People don't get as excited about the tackles, but like you said, somebody who can block for the passer without help in these modern offenses where they want to get more receivers on the field, invaluable, obviously. You know, you talked about all the positions. One of the positions I think that's underrated nowadays is the good sideline-to-sideline linebacker, unless you got a guy like Patrick Willis, different story, but I love this kid from Georgia, Ogletree, and he was an attitude problem, and all indications are, I mean, this guy's a monster. All indications for him were, had this been based on talent and good attitude, he could have been a top 10, maybe even a top 5 pick. Have you had guys like that? And talk us through that situation where there's so much off-the-field baggage that such an obvious talent can shoot down the board.
So what teams are afraid of is that they put big upfront signing bonuses into a player, and he either underperforms or has enough issues that he becomes disqualified, can't play for drugs, other problems, discipline problems. And then they're not only out the upfront bonus, but the way the salary cap works is that it gets amortized over a series of years. So, for example, if you had a $10 million bonus over 5 years, it would be $2 million a year. And then they just sort of lose that cap room. So it's a double whammy. So character then becomes a big issue. A lot of that ends up getting played out in the interviews that are done at the combine, which gives teams about 20 minutes or so to talk to the player. You would know as an agent which of your players had character knocks or potential arrest or anything else, and very thoroughly come up with a strategy that that somehow speaks to that. A head coach can be very helpful in it, who will testify to the player's character, or assistant coaches, or people who've been around him, or good works. But somehow the point is that it's no surprise. Anticipate that, and then make sure that the player has a very consistent story, that he owns up to whatever he's actually responsible for. He doesn't blame other people or shirk responsibility. And then people understand, look, young men are not totally mature in college, and they all make mistakes. We all made mistakes. And what they really care about is, how does he project to be over the next 10 to 12 years?
What were the mistakes that jumped out to you that you said, I'm not touching this guy as a client? What were the ones you felt you could solve, and what were the ones that you said, no way, I wouldn't want to go near him, and I couldn't rep him?
You know, I had 60 first-round draft picks and the very first pick in the draft. I wish I had seen Ryan Leaf's problems. That was probably my most troubled draft pick, and yet they got by me because in triumph, he was fine. It was in adversity that he went into a shell. You obviously have to screen for drug problems. If someone has a serious addiction problem, then that's beyond me to solve, and they will probably go back to it, and it will recur. So that person just needs help, and to address that issue, it's not a great place to recover in pressure-filled sports. You also want to look at whether or not a player's coachable and willing to take responsibility. You see, these sports are team games. Football's a team game. It's not just how you do on the field. Can you survive within the rules and practice and get the places on time and give full performance and do all the rest of it and focus in film study? Because if you can't do those things, if someone's resentful and says, well, it's just the game, you probably don't survive the system. So you also need people that are willing to function that way. And normally that's screened out by later, but players fail who've got that problem. And then you want to see passion, real desire, because virtually all athletes I've worked with are competitive, but you know, someone who really doesn't like football is not going to have a long career. Barry Sanders did not like football.
Now,
he was
everything
good at
you just
it.
Talked about passion, about fire, about film study, about working hard, about leadership, about intangibles. I don't understand why Tim Tebow is not in an NFL franchise right now. First of all, just as a great person for the NFL community to be doing his charity in that city, I don't understand why Tennessee has Jake Locker and won't take a chance on him. Chad Henne is in Jacksonville. They didn't take a chance. Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
Derek Anderson's backing up Cam Newton.
The answer to that is that most teams have made the assumption that he is not a pro set quarterback with the capacity to accurately deliver passes in a standard offense over time. That what he is a good athlete. The problem with having him is I could make the argument that he's the most popular player with fans, and especially with the fundamentalist or born-again Christian community that we have in this country. You know, he's handsome, he's charismatic, he won awards, he has great values, he's everything that you'd want in a young man. And that creates a problem on a team, because when he goes someplace, I would hate to be representing a quarterback in front of Tim Tebow. The minute that the player in front of him throws an incomplete pass, the stadium resonates with, we want Tim, we want Tim. And it's nobody's fault, but he's so popular. And the people who believe in him so passionately, and there's a disconnect between that and whether or not he could actually play a full season of football. He took people by surprise in Denver, but once they weren't surprised and figured out how to defend him, they could if they forced him to stay there and just pass. He's got a load of talent. Now, I had a quarterback named Cordell Stewart, and they found a lot of things they could do with him. Tim Tebow's a good athlete. There are a lot of things you can do with him. But when you put him in the quarterback position, he has the tendency to completely destabilize the incumbent quarterback situation. And you've got to have a starter who's got some confidence and is not always looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, that's a great take. And that's why there's talk now about he might be going to New Orleans to back up Breeze as one of his backups. That's interesting. Now, these guys have to sign for a ton of money, and one of the main reasons why is they have short careers. Concussions, the debilitating effects of concussions. Where are you in that process now? I know you do a lot of work to raise awareness there, and what are your opinions about the state of this right now?
The most troubling aspect now is that what we're discovering is that players who've never been diagnosed with any concussion at all end up suffering repetitive brain injury. So that they did a survey of a college game that was played last season, and no one was reported to have had a concussion. When they tested the players after the game, they found that a high percentage of them had blood markers that showed that there had been brain disturbances that were potentially brain damage, which means that the subconcussive hits that are occurring. So an offensive lineman hits a defensive lineman. Now they hit each other and they're both stunned. That means something's happened in their brain, but it's not a concussion. They just go on playing. They could be walking out of the game with 10,000 subconcussive hits. Players are dinged that way all the time. And so it gets frightening because in addition to what we already know, and I've am putting together a foundation called Athletes Speak that will feature athletes for the first time sort of speaking out on this issue. And we're putting together a board of directors, and we have some of the leading neurologists in the country to help with it. Because I simply came to the point in my practice where I could not in good conscience continue to put players into a game that potentially was going to leave them with dementia at the end of it, unable to function and feel very good about it. So anyway, so the subconcussive hit is now going to become a big issue. And this is why, Dish, I've said it's a ticking time bomb and an undiagnosed health epidemic, because the bigger, stronger, faster athlete of today is producing a much more impactful hit. When you've got an offensive tackle, Luke Jekyll, running a 4.65 40 at 320 pounds in the combine, hitting a stationary object, no one ever anticipated football players would be that large, that strong, and run that fast. And so the impact of these hits is being felt. So imagine that virtually every football player is getting hits like this on most plays, and they add up.
So
we don't know what the damage will be.
Do you support this new rule to not duck your head in the open field, and is there a solution? Is this one step, and is there a solution?
The reality is that they're going to have to curtail some of the more violent contact to the extent they can in football. And we won't miss it. It'll be fine. In other words, you know, they don't allow the defensive player to annihilate the quarterback anymore. And guess what? Football had the top five ranked shows last year on national TV over and over and over again. It had its most popular season.
Yeah, I think that now people realize when they see those violent hits in the secondary knocking a receiver out, it's not as funny as it used to be when it was the old days.
The point is that, first of all, you have to start at the youth level, and there's some controversy over whether kids should be playing tackle football at, you know, 6 or 7 anyway, but if they are, they have to be taught proper technique very early. Second of all, we've got to keep moving on protective equipment, helmetry, all the rest of it. We've got to have better systems of logging what's actually happening out there so that we can actually measure the amount of damage being done. There also needs to be lots of research on nutraceutical or other compounds that can heal some of the concussion and brain damage. We know more about the brain now in the last 5 years than we probably did in 130,000 years of human evolution, and we'll know more. And you'll never be able to take the hit totally out of football, but you have to minimize it, because otherwise what will happen is pro football will be endangered, and then college and the rest of it, because parents won't have their kids play football. And the legal liability coming out of these lawsuits will be so prohibitive that if you think about insurance and every other associated expense, oh, my God, it's going to have a real chilling effect on the sport.
Lee, where can people find you? What's the best way for them to follow you?
They can follow me My blog and tweet and all that is at Steinberg Sports. And then I do, and I'm writing each week, for Forbes.com. And those often find their way to Yahoo.com and Huffington Post. But I post, a regular column for Forbes.com where we're writing about issues of interest.
And are you still, very active with the Green Stadium Initiative?
I'm really, working hard to get that back up. I'm at the point right now where I'm fielding offers. I'm ready to relaunch as soon as I get funded, and then we'll give it another run with representation in all the major sports, and that will power a marketing arm, and that will help us create a studio, not in the four-wall brick-and-mortar sense, but in the virtual sense that does sports-themed motion pictures, television, video games, internet apps, mobile phone apps, health and safety products, and then the Sporting Green Alliance, which brings sustainable technology to stadia, arena, and practice fields. And I turned my autobiography into St. Martin's Press, and so it ought to be out either late this year or at next year's Super Bowl. And so we'll be active and rocking and rolling soon again.
Sounds good. We'll hope to have you on to promote every single one of those things. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure, and good luck.
Lee Steinberg, everybody. And now Matt's musical stylings will turn into Dee's musical stylings. Oh, Dee. Dee, what did you do?
I've got to be a macho, macho man, yeah. I've got to be a macho, ow, macho, macho man, yeah.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with Kay Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
I hear some music, Mike. Is that at your place? Is that at Micah's place? Or is that in the studio, D? Where's that music coming from? Oh, that music! It's Jason Collins who's parked outside. I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's funny.
Neighborhood?
It's not a big deal. If it was a big deal, I wouldn't make fun of it. He did a good job. All right, Jason Collins. But Matt, you know, and D, they're in the studio. They're playing The Village People. They're playing Frankie Goes to Hollywood. See, it's funny stuff. It's not offensive. Relax. Like the song says. It was great to have Lee Steinberg on. His takes on Tebow were fantastic, and the problems he creates. His takes on, what was it called, Mike? The secondary concussion.
Oh, yeah.
That's some big stuff. And you know what? That echoes because when I was a kid, my one memory of going to a pro football game, I went with my buddy whose dad was big time at SC, and because of that, he had connections at the Coliseum, and because of that, he got connections for a Raider game. And so we ended up in the players' parking lot after the game, waiting for the players. And Dave Dalby and Matuszak and all those, you know, beasts that the Raiders had, they came to the parking lot. They each were holding a 24-pack case of beer. They opened it. They started drinking. And I'm telling you, these guys were so beat up, they could not even stand up. They were leaning on the cars. They looked just beaten. I'll never forget it.
Look at them today. Their knees are probably shot to hell.
Yeah, about the beating that these people take. It's very impactful. Anyway, great to hear some draft stories about what he had today. And now, Mike, before we bring on football and get going, I want to be able to say we're all things to all people. So do me a favor. Give me one sentence. What's going on in the world of hockey?
Well, in the hockey world, the Blackhawks have been leading the way so far, but it's only one game in a twisted playoff series that is going to take 28 games to win if they go all seven games in all four series, with a season that's only been 48 games.
All right, and how are the Kings doing?
They're actually behind St. Louis one game to nothing.
All right, well, that's okay. We'll beat them. NBA, what's happening?
The Heat and Spurs are both leading the way, sweeping their first-round series 4-0.
See, this
all the other series right now are at a 3-2 level. And big stars missing, Westbrook, Rose, Griffin, a lot of big names gone. With Kobe gone, the Lakers are, of course, out of it before it even really
Everything
got
I ask you is about Chicago, so we may as well finish it. Where's your take on the Bears draft?
Bears draft I loved. They took two offensive linemen and two linebackers, which were exactly what they needed.
Well, okay, it's nice to see somebody supporting him for a change. That's Mike Neese's News Minutes. That's the new way we're going to bring you news. Mike's going to give you a little update. He's going to do the little minute. You're going to know everything happening in sports. When we come back, we are very excited about our next guest. He's actually not really a guest. He's part of us. He, in fact, has entered the vortex of hell, and he's about to find that out slowly. He probably already knows. When we come back, Micah James, the FF Magic Man and the editor-in-chief of FantasyInsights.com. We will talk NFL draft. We're going to put up his rookie board tonight. He'll talk about it here on the air first. He and I will debate a couple of players, and we'll do a told-you-so out of it, maybe. That's what we should really be doing. All right, so when we come back from this, we're going to see how politically correct or incorrect the music is now from D and Matt. But we'll have Micah James, the Magic Man, and we'll close it out in our final segment on Voice America. Let's see what you got there in the booth, D. What music you playing?
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
It is our final segment on VoiceAmericaSports.com. So long, farewell, so sad to see you go, as Julie Andrews and the Von Trapp twins sang. We will very much miss being on the station. We sing A Vida Zain Adieu with the same gusto as the Von Trapp twins, triplets, octuplets, whatever the hell they were.
Yes, we do.
I think there were eight of them, maybe six. Brady Bunch was six. Lee Steinberg was on the show, and now we bring on Micah James, the editor-in-chief of FantasyInsights.com, the author of The Next Generation. Micah, how are you doing, bud?
Yeah, man, I don't know what this Abito Swain is, but, like, I'm loving your music. Can you play, like, some Spandau Ballet for me? And I'll just let you guys talk and listen to the music. Thanks, man.
We have interesting music selection today. We have a great music selection. I'm not going to make any comments. Let's talk NFL draft, something we're actually good at. We're going to put up your rookie board tonight. Give me your big draft winners and losers, and let's say from a fantasy perspective, who are a couple of guys that you think, rookie or non-rookie, but what rookie you think is going to have the most impact, and who do you think got helped the most by the draft, maybe those two guys?
Well, I mean, I think Tavon Austin is probably the one rookie that comes to mind. St. Louis moved up to get him. He's an exciting playmaker type of wide receiver. Ordinarily, I don't think wide receivers have a tremendous impact from a fantasy value, but Austin's going to be able to do a lot of things in the return game. I think they'll find some creative ways to use him. So from a rookie player standpoint, at least at the skill positions outside of quarterback, I'd say he's probably going to be one of the most impactful rookies we'll see.
What about a current player who you think was helped dramatically by the way his team drafted?
Well, I think, Larry Fitzgerald comes to mind. Certainly having Carson Palmer helps, but Arizona did an awful lot to improve their offensive line. But beyond that, taking those two running backs late the way that they did, they've got Andre Ellington and Stephen Taylor. Both of those guys could see a lot of time this year in Arian's system. Improving the running game is going to do nothing but help Fitzgerald on the outside. So I think he's a guy that certainly has got to be happy with what's developed for his team going forward.
Yeah, I really love Monty Ball. I think Ball is in the best situation of the rookies, and I think he's going to have a major impact and could have not quite what Doug Martin did because he was a number three back in fantasy last year. But he, to me, is the surefire back that you can feel safe drafting as a rookie. I love the way everybody forgets he's only one season removed from that awful beating that he took from some crazy people. You know, of course his numbers were down. As far as players who got help, well, you know, Sam Bradford got help so much. I just don't know if he's got the moxie to be a quarterback one, and my gut feeling is no, he doesn't. But a guy who I love, I think the Ravens took the fullback from Harvard, Ozzie Newsome, doing one of those things. Whoever took the fullback from Harvard, I like that back. Pretty sure it was Ozzie Newsome. And I think it means that Ray Rice is going to look a little better. That's my take. Mike, give me a couple guys at each position you're excited to see as rookies. Who you think can make the most impact?
Well, I mean, I think from the quarterback standpoint, there's really only two guys that have any fantasy value for 2013. That's Geno Smith and E.J. Manuel. I don't think I would draft Geno Smith, you know, at all in any kind of a typical league. Manuel is a little more intriguing to me. I do think he's going to win that job in Buffalo. And I think he's a guy that, you know, if he develops and has some of the confidence or has some of the skills that they put confidence in, you know, I certainly like Manuel in the quarterback role. I don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant per se, but he's somebody that you can keep an eye on. Running backs, I like Monty Ball as well. Probably not as much as you do, just, you know, given rookie running backs. But I also think a guy that's going to see a lot of work is Giovanni Bernard. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is just kind of your workhorse back, and Bernard is awfully exciting. So he may end up stealing a lot of time there in Cincinnati. And folks need to keep an eye on Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, too. He's going to have a lot of opportunity there, I believe.
I think that's where we got to do our I Told You So article on Le'Veon Bell. Because I am just not a believer in him at all. I think that's a wasted pick by Pittsburgh and a terrible pick. I think he's what they already have, except he's not as tough. He doesn't have great measurables, and he doesn't run tough. He's big, but he doesn't run tough. And I liken that to Anthony Thomas. He used to be the Michigan back who was big, but he didn't run tough. And then when he got to the pros, he had a few good games at the Bears, one good fantasy season and a half, but he really wasn't able to be a pro back for about 5-6 years. I love Jonathan Franklin.
You don't like Bell because he went to Michigan State. Come on, who are you trying to get?
I don't care. We don't consider them real. It's Ohio State. Jonathan Franklin, I think, going to Green Bay was really a better pick than Eddie Lacy, and I think he'll get more reps. Where are you on those two?
I think Green Bay's whole backfield is a mess. I don't think I'll draft any of them. I do believe Franklin's probably the more pro-ready player at this point, and that being the case, especially in pass protection, I think you're going to see him on the field more than you're going to see Lacy. But I think Lacy is the guy they're going to try and involve down near the goal line, and those guys are going to basically cancel each other out. So unless we see some things develop in the preseason and as it gets a little bit closer to the real thing, I'm just steering clear of the Green Bay backfield again this year.
If the draft for your fantasy league were tomorrow morning, who is your first pick if you have number one?
You mean of rookies or of
anything? No, everything.
Oh, well, I think you still got to go with Adrian Peterson at 1-1.
PPR league?
Yeah, still Peterson.
Yeah,
definitely.
I agree. Although Greg Kellogg put up a good article today at USA Today. You can find it on his Facebook, talking about how Peterson's the wrong pick for number one. It's very interesting.
Well, you know, you bring that up, and actually I'm hoping in every draft I do this season that I don't get stuck with 1-1 because I think you're in a position where you really have nothing to do but lose with that pick. I'd much rather be at like 1-7, 1-8, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think there's a ton of value in that later spot in round one, and you get the better player on the turnaround, but I digress.
It's interesting, no first-round running backs this year. Because I very much would have liked to see Trent Richardson last year. You had three backs in the first round last year. Receivers, Tavon Austin's the only one who got me excited. Maybe I think you like DeAndre Hopkins a lot, too, in Houston, don't you?
I think he is a very good player to complement Andre Johnson. I think he's a player that's going to be able to go up and get the football. Houston's really not had a good number two wide receiver behind Johnson in years. So I think Hopkins is going to find a lot of time on the field. And, yeah, I think he can definitely be a productive guy. I'm higher on him than a lot of the other first-round picks.
Micah James, the editor-in-chief of the new FantasyInsights.com, which is the old FantasyInsights.com, just run much better because I'm not running it. I'm the figurehead, and we know that's where I belong. Folks, it has been a rare pleasure to share these internet airwaves with you, the Voice America sports audience. Scott Duffy, Ray Ellis, Dee, and Matt in the booth, everybody who's always been a part of this show, I cannot thank you enough. And parting brings such sweet sorrow, but we'll see you again.
This is the end. beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your again. Can you picture what will be so limitless and free, desperately in need of some stranger's hand in our